Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Delicious, isn't it? Welcome in. This is the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's.
You talk. Give me two.
This is a special edition. We're talking first base dynasty rankings. That's right. Now, we're not going to give you every single player on our rankings from top to bottom. Robbie Baseball has compiled his list. There he is right there. Follow him on wherever people get followed now.
Don't follow me.
He's Robbie Bates. Yeah. Oh, don't follow me. Okay.
Follow Govier. Follow the podcast. Leave me alone.
Follow the show. YouTube. 1,000 subscribers. That's what matters most.
Absolutely.
I'm at MJ Govier somewhere out there. I'm on Blue Sky. That's a thing now. I just want to make sure I'm cool with everybody. You got to be cool with everyone. Everyone.
What's that? I don't know. Don't dive into it, but give me the Cole's notes on whatever Blue Sky is.
Oh, well, after Trump was elected in America last year, Elon Musk was considered a worse guy. People were on Twitter until the election, and then they got off of it more.
There was
a rebellion that took place the day after, and now, hey, I'm just following the big wigs. Eric Cross already has like 3,000 followers on Blue Sky, so I just got to go where the action is. So it's literally Twitter. It's literally Twitter.
Right.
It just called Blue Sky.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I remember when Clubhouse was a thing, you know, four years ago, and I was pumped. We thought we were on the inside track with that because it was all verbal, but you know, you couldn't leave a message or anything like that. No text. And it just became the same, like, 6 to 8 people in most of the fantasy baseball and baseball type chats, which the rooms would grow. Like, the rooms would grow to a couple hundred. And sometimes you could have several dozen listening, but they weren't participating. And a lot of people were just, it was like call-in shows, basically. And I was just hosting, like, a radio show, but it wasn't fun. You know.
Well, you can do that on Twitter Spaces now. Yeah, so that's
right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Twitter,
that's what happened.
That's all it is. Yeah. All right, so let's cut right to it. We're here about business. We're going to be trying to do every position here, get them all done here in January today. We're recording on January 4th, but this is evergreen for the whole 2025 preseason and into the season, right? Fair enough?
Absolutely.
Okay,
this is
great.
My list. This is and your list that we're using in our leagues to ensure victory. So, and this is long term.
Wow, like, dude!
We talked about how we had to state kind of what our list was based on, just to give context to people, because for everybody out there, you know, there's the weirdos who just can't get enough of Roto, and then there's, you know, as they all the Roto guys will say, the beginners who are playing points leagues, and then there's the head to head cats guys. There's everything out there. There's best ballers. But we're going based on whatever, you know, Govier has determined, whatever I've determined, which we'll have to tell you before, you know, 3 to 5 years, whatever it is, OBP leagues, whatever that is, so that you get an idea if this ranking suits you. And if you align with kind of where we are, then you might want to follow along with the rest of those rankings. And if you don't, instead of being negative, look it up, because we did. We figured out. We came to some consensus separately, and now we're together to share. So
we did. That's all true. Everything Robbie said is correct.
Great job.
Wow, you really know your stuff. So, having said all this, let us commence with the show. And do we want to give our top five and then
I was
the
just
going
to ask. Do you want to go from like the outside, like of like the questions I've got, and then do the guys, or do you want to do like one through like how do you want to go from 1 to 10 or from 10 down?
Yeah, let's do that. Then we'll do the questions.
Okay. So do you want to go from 10 down or 1 up?
10 down, always. It's exciting. Count it down. Yeah. Robbie, take it away first. 10 to 1. Hit us. Hit me.
Okay. So my 10 through 1. And what I have based this on is like an 8x8 with average head-to-head type league. So this also suits the Roto guys more. I love points formats, and a lot of the point stuff will reward OBP. But in some cases, somebody who's just hits a ton of home runs could get 7 points, let's say, for one home run, depending on how your league is set up. And I didn't want to go the points route for this ranking, but I do personally love playing points leagues. My number 10 is Nathaniel Lowe with Washington. So he's 29. He's just too good to ignore. The OBP, which is not going to count directly in this category, is too good to ignore because it allows him to do other things like get on base, like get driven in. And he's going from a powerhouse Texas team to a Washington team that could be one of those future Kansas City up and surprising teams. But I don't know if that's going to be a one-year stop for him. And he's at number 10 for me because I don't know where he's going to be from 26 to 29. And I have done a five-year rank on this guy, and that's my assumption on giving him the number 10 spot. At 9, I've got Vinny P., Vinny Pasquantino for Kansas City. And I have to say, I do not like that I have Vinny P. at 9 or in my top 10, but this is just where it worked out for him, which I think means it's a more legitimate rank in what I think he's actually going to do. Because between 25 and 27, he's going to be on an extremely competitive Kansas City team. But I'm not sold that they are set at first base, because they've got, you know, Sal Perez aging out. They've already had future catchers like A.J. Melendez leave the position. There's a bunch of dudes that could come up. There's the threat of a free agent signing or an in-season trade that he'll have in each of those next 3 years that could chip away a bit. But he is a producer. And if you group your runs and RBIs together, and if you group your home runs and stolen bases together, which will be an important factor when I get a little higher in my rankings, it makes sense why Vinny P is inside the top 10. And I would say safely. I just personally don't know how high his ceiling is because of some of the factors I mentioned, but his floor is quite high. This is my number 8 guy, is my big chance guy here, and that is yet to debut Bryce Eldridge with San Francisco. There is no San Francisco first baseman. They are spending buckets of cash elsewhere, and I think
Wilmer Flores.
But there's no guy who's got his name on the parking spot for first base And I think that Eldridge, former first round pick, I think 2023 is when he was picked out of high school. He could be exactly like Goldie was a decade ago: home runs, stolen bases, runs, RBIs, and like in the lineup. And now that with the DH, which, you know, the NL didn't have 10 years ago, I think that's right. They didn't get it within the last decade. There's more opportunity for Eldridge to be able to break in and make it. Now, we've seen San Francisco fail again and again bringing up catchers, and they haven't developed a first baseman and blah, blah, blah. But I think this is a different set of circumstances, and he is my risk-reward guy that I have in a couple dynasty leagues, and I'd love to get elsewhere. But now he's already getting onto those lists in the upper 75. So he's getting a little bit out of reach, but you know, maybe there's a weak owner out there in your league who wants somebody else, and you could maybe swoop in and get you some Eldridge here. So 7, I've got Josh Naylor now with Arizona. He is in prime time production for his career right now. And I mentioned earlier the combination of runs and RBIs. I think you can safely say he's going to get 140 in each of the next 5 years, like combined without any issue. That lineup's going to be good for him until he hits free agency. And this is where it gets a little scary for me. Is he going to become a peak Josh Bell with lots of production, or is he going to become the valley Josh Bell where he's on 3 teams in a year and then the next year he's really good, you know, for a period of time? Average can always be a concern with a guy who's trying to hit bombs. We'll see how it plays out. But I really like Naylor right now in this atmosphere. Number 6 for me is Matt Olson. I'm concerned the numbers went down as much as they did last year, but keep in mind 2023 was amazing career highs. So he's going to normalize a little bit more. He's on a stacked team. They just need to stay healthy, of course. But he's going to continue to produce as long as he's with Atlanta. And if he starts to do the hop around in the latter part of the five-year ranking, I don't think that means he's not producing. He might be the kind of guy who could Carlos Santana, where you don't think of him anymore, and then you realize, oh, I should get him because, you know, when he's, say, age 34 here. So do you want me to stop at that and you do your 10 to 6?
Okay, yeah, we could do that if you'd like, yes.
Sure. I just want to know some of your stuff, so.
Wait, was that 10 to 6 already?
That was my 10 to 6, yeah.
Wow, Lowe, that's fast.
Vinny P, Eldridge, Naylor, Olson. 10 through 6.
This is hilarious. My number 10 is Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah, that's always good. It rarely happens.
So let's fill you people in. I was just recently informed of the trade. You know, I've been checked out, taking a break, so I've been catching up. I did the work, but I was like, oh, wow, he got traded? Holy crap, I can't believe the Rangers moved him. Then I found out Jake Berger is now in Texas.
I'm like, wow,
this is exciting. Some fun moves here. And Lowe in Washington with this up-and-coming offense of elite players that are young right now is just very exciting. He's he's the guy. He's the veteran. He's the guy who can hold it down, and he could easily hit 30 dongs and drive in 100 runs, no problem. I really believe that.
Yeah.
He's an elite fielder, so it keeps him in the lineup always, too. He's going to be there every day. You know, he generally has been pretty healthy, generally, I believe. So,
yep.
I can count on him. So he's number 10 for me. and number 9 is Jake Berger.
Oh, nice.
This is a little radical, maybe. I mean, because he's just a one-trick pony. But
it's a hell of a trick.
It is. He goes on absolute tears. I mean, the guy mashes like crazy. Yeah. Home runs galore. We all know that. If he could become a little bit more feared, and maybe he could bring the OBP up a little bit more, maybe draw some more walks. And he's also coming into the prime of his career in Texas. I like it. I like it enough to put him in my top 10. It's a little bold, I think. Maybe. I haven't even looked at other people's rankings, so I guess I really don't know. I really wanted to keep myself in my own world.
Yep. Which is the best way to do it. I looked after. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I've got, you know, that's why I made mention with Eldridge. I'm like, all right, I got to say a little bit on why I think he's, you know, inside my top 10. By contrast, exactly. I've got Berger at 22, and my note on him is average / Joey Gallo concerns. And otherwise, like, I mean, the power for days, like you said, right? Runs, RBIs, home runs are going to be there. And if Texas remains loaded and he remains there, he could be great in 3 years. He could be a top 7 guy average over the next 3 years if in Texas it all comes together for him.
Well, I should have mentioned as well, for me, I'm coming from a head-to-head Cats perspective.
Oh,
so
right. Yeah, he did, man.
I think Jake Berger is very valuable in head-to-head Cats. Win you weeks a lot. He can win you a lot of weeks.
Yeah,
and that's
for sure.
The key. So it's important that I mention that. So I wanted to ask you, is Spencer Steer included as a first base anymore, or is it over?
I included him for sure. Yep.
Okay. Well, he's number 8 for me. I love Spencer Steer. I think the best is yet to come. His floor, like you talked about Vinny P, I think his floor is special. I think it keeps him in the ballpark of being a very reliable guy year over year. And to me, he's young enough still. He hits in a great ballpark. All signs point to him being a very useful guy over the next 5 years, really. He shouldn't go anywhere. He should be a staple. And I don't see his game slipping at all. I see... Yeah, maybe he doesn't have, the ceiling, the potential that some of the other guys do in the top 10. But I just like him to be so reliable year over year. A guy you can plug in and generally don't have to worry about. And he has all these other, we're talking first base, but he has a lot of positional flexibility, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. And important, for sure. Because if you've got, say, Berger in at first, heading into the weekend, and you can move Steer to third base or whatever, because you're looking for whatever he can produce for you, that's a heck of a bonus. Because everybody always says catcher, right? If a catcher can also do a second position, that makes them even better. That's Steer's an excellent example of that.
Absolutely. And then for number 7, I put Tristan Casas.
Yeah.
I just think his power, massive power. And the OBP, you know, he's being feared. He already is feared. That'll come up more. And I wasn't worried about the injury this year. It happens. People get hurt. So I'm not going to sweat it too much. I'm looking year over year here. Guy's coming right into his own in a team that will usually try to compete and put players around him that should benefit some of the other categories he can give you. He's kind of like a Jake Berger in that sense, but maybe a little bit more reliable when it comes to an OBP floor for me. And then number six is Vinny P for me. I put Vinny P at six.
There you go.
This is a guy that I think can do almost everything except, steal bags. And we're not getting a lot of steals at first base. That's fine. I don't care about that as much. But I just really think that this guy is such a safe play on a team that is ascending. So if you look at the 3 to 5 year window here, it's just a guy that I trust really almost implicitly. I really do. The injury that happened this year really was not his fault at all. If you want to go back and look at that play, do you remember that play specifically? What happened on that goofy ass play?
No.
Oh, it was stupid as hell. It was the reliever who came over from the A's. What's his face? I had him everywhere. He was traded the deadline, became the closer.
My goodness.
Yeah, that guy. He kind of put him in a bad spot to cause the injury. It was really stupid. So I'm just saying that was a fluke, weird play. And Vinny P came back for the playoff round. He was able to make it back pretty quickly. So I think he's a quick healer. All signs point up in a positive direction. I know he had a lot of hype. Italian breakfast is the man. And I wasn't as big on the hype train as other people were at the time, but he's number six for me.
Okay, I need to know who the relief pitcher is, because as soon as you said it, my mind went to
I know
the guy that they got from Oakland, the other pitcher that they got from Oakland that I had in a bunch of dynasty leagues, and he got sent back down. That's why I'm checking here. Let's see, is he still? Oh, Lucas Ursig. There it is.
Thank you, Lucas Ursig. Good God in heaven! I can't believe I spaced out. I had him everywhere. That's my closer for them down the stretch. So, all right, so that was top five, Robbie, from your perspective.
All right,
let's hear it. I'm excited.
My top five, and I'm glad that we got to clear this up with your 10 to 6. My top five starts with Spencer Steer. He's 26 years old.
Oh.
He's in that beautiful ballpark. And, I mean, Govea, because I know you roster him. He stole 25 bags last year. He had 10 in 23. He went to 25 last year. Part of the reason, the guy wants to play. So he got on base. He ran. He's more important to his team. I think for me, talking about the run RBI combo, I think he can exceed 160 combined and hit 20 home runs a year. And the stolen bases, Govea, you said you're not looking for those at first base, and you shouldn't. It's dangerous to do that, because if they disappear like Machado, then all of a sudden the player's value is not there anymore. But consider it a bonus that maybe he could just get you 10. Which means between home runs and stolen bases, he's got 30, which puts you at a typical power bat. He could always hit more and steal more. Last year he had a combined 45. And then the runs and RBIs are going to be there. Again, competitive team. They might not always be a playoff team, but they have tons of young talent that's all right around the surface now for MLB. And that should mean that they are a very interesting team. I don't want to say consistent. That would be the Braves, maybe could be a more consistent team as far as point production, but they could have some massive games, and Steer could be one of those 6-8 RBI guys who you're so happy is in your lineup. And I really like him. When you drafted him a couple years ago.
I can't believe you ranked him higher than I did. I'm so bummed now.
Again, it goes to the double position, because Cincinnati's got, CES, who when healthy, should be able to produce like a Vinny P, but we have to see it. For me, he's way back in my rankings because I think Steer could be the guy. And then Jamer Candelario is there this year as well. So there's three guys for two positions. And Candelario is not old enough yet to say I would like him to go away. He just needs to also help to drive in Steer when he's on. Things like that, right? Like get on a hot streak, help him out. And that's what Candelario could do when he's doing his thing. So anyway, Steer's my five. At four, I've got Vlad Jr. This will be, I'm sure of, his last year in Toronto. And when he's a Yankee next year, the runs and RBIs are fairly safe, in my opinion, to be 100-100 for the next 5 years, which is going to be huge. And he's going to be safely hitting 20 plus home runs. Now he's going to steal you less than three bag or less than five, let's say. But the big thing for me is what kind of average are we going to get? And for anybody out there in OBP land, what kind of OBP, what kind of player is Vlad going to become up to age 30? Because I'm sure after 30, he's going to really need to have a keen eye and be one for one strikeout to walk. I'm not seeing that now. We all saw the, you know, promise a couple years ago with him and Bo, and everybody's been disappointed since, and, you know, yada, yada. Yeah, we get it. The dynasty didn't come together. But for Vlad, he also has had all of his protection taken away. And that's a really important thing for all your best guys. So when he's a Yankee next year and he's got Judge there, and, you know, Volpe could be higher up in the lineup if he's able to stick, there's a lot of youth that's going to be around him when he's a Yankee next year. And if for some reason he's not, let's just cross our fingers and hope that he ends up where I'm hoping my number two guy ends up. But right now we're going to get to my number three, which I have to say, I'm not happy to have a 35-year-old here, Govier. I've got Freddie Freeman, my number three.
Yeah.
Because the lineup is too good. He, of course, is too good to ignore. His production is too good to ignore. There's everything lined up for Freddie Freeman to continue to produce at a high clip, even if he moves a spot or two back in the lineup. You know, we wouldn't go further back than six, really. But imagine he's sixth. He'll be a run machine, or sorry, he'll be an RBI machine, and the runs will go down. But the higher up in the lineup, of course, I mean, you can't. And he could be elite until the day he retires. He is that kind of player, and his value will drop every year in Dynasty, which just means that I'm going to continue to collect him in various leagues because somebody else is going to want that shiny new toy. My number two is yet to sign with the Rockies, Pete Alonso. Imagine that. Imagine if Alonso signed with
Pete
the Rockies.
Alonso number two?
Yeah, I got Pete Alonso number two. I love Pete Alonso. I think what a lot of people forget is that he's not Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo cannot get what's called a base hit. Alonso can get a base hit. He's got not necessarily a two-strike approach, but he's got the ability to hit a ball that doesn't have to leave the park. The biggest thing right now is we just don't know where he's going to sign. So depending on when you're listening to this, he very well may be, you know, selecting his home in Colorado. If not there, I would also accept San Diego because they could certainly use him and they like to make big signings. And then the flyer is St. Louis for me, which would be another one of those spots where he could go and really stick at a number two position. Now, if he goes somewhere really weird, which when I was looking, I didn't see anywhere obvious outside of those three teams that I thought would be like really good. Now, Colorado, I don't think would really sign him. You know, Michael Toby is going to take the world by storm next year. We will all just wait and find that out. But home runs and RBIs for Alonso are going to be elite no matter the park because it's not going to matter. He can hit the ball out wherever. Runs and average are the question marks, which is why he's not my number one. And my number one is Bryce Harper. He's 32, you know, so he's a few years older. But he is at the top of the mountain in production, and he will be for the next 5 years. Philly is going to continue to compete, and they're doing it this year by getting pitchers in. They always bring in, you know, offensive-minded guys. They've been able to draft a few middle infielders that might pay off. Some way, somehow, Philly competes, and Harper moving to first base has been a big bonus for anybody who had him in Dynasty when he was hurt and then was a DH, and you know it was getting a little wonky as to what was Bryce Harper going to be. He's now hopefully a long-term first baseman, and he could have five insanely productive years ahead of him, obviously barring injury. So, all right, Goves, who you got?
Okay, so I have to amend. I screwed up because I was looking at my spreadsheet and I started at the wrong number.
Oh, no.
So let's go back real quick.
Sure.
My number 10 through 6, I have to add number 10.
So oh, okay.
I'm an idiot. Number 10 was Matt Olson.
Oh, okay.
So he made the cut, but he's barely there. To me, I'm a little more concerned about his ability to stay up on that. You know, 2023 was incredible. He'll never do that again. He'll never do that again. That was a career year.
Yeah.
But if he's close to that, or obviously if he's a 40 home run guy, drives in 110 plus, and you know, is a really, really solid veteran first baseman in fantasy, he's got to be in the top 10. So he's number 10 for me. So that went Olson 10, Lowe 9, Berger 8, Steer 7, Costa 6, and then Vinny P was 5. Okay.
Okay, so you've already gotten into your top five.
I gave you a tiny taste of Vinny P. So number four is the guy you just talked about, Bryce Harper.
Oh, okay.
So he's going nowhere. The guy's still an incredible bat, and this is his new life, right? So
yeah.
There's just no doubt he's definitely in the top five still. The guy can still play. He's kind of guy that will age well. He's not,
yes, 100%.
Especially
agree.
First base. He could just hit forever.
Yeah.
I don't have any concerns about that.
It's an excellent move for him, right? Like where people talk about moving Vlad to DH to preserve him, which, you know, sounds really weird, but that's the world we're in. Bryce Harper moving to first base is an excellent way to preserve him, as long as he's got good stretching techniques, so he's not pulling hammies, lunging for, you know, crappy throws from third and short. It should be a long, successful run for him.
Absolutely. I completely agree. My number three is the other old man, Freddie Freeman. We mentioned him. It speaks for himself.
Yep.
It's a great lineup. And even though he's 35, he could still, for the next 3 years, be really, really, really good. And that's enough for me to put him there. And I don't, not even really that worried about it, frankly. I know he's been around since 2010 as a MLB-er. So he's an old man. He is. He's an old man. But Dynasty, sometimes you have to talk about, if a guy's a Hall of Fame guy, then he belongs there. And he's still at that level. He can still play. So injuries will be the only concern, I think, at this point. So then number two, is your future Yankee, Vladdy Guerrero.
Okay.
And I'm not thrilled about it.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't given anyone out there making a list or anyone rostering him or anyone making a trade for him reason to be over the moon to put him wherever you put him, you know? But there certainly is hope in a 25-year-old that should be able to mash for a decade. But I don't know. I get it. Like, it's, yeah.
He said it so well. Couldn't have said it better. That's it. That says it all. Whatever. He's there. So I guess, are you wondering who my number one is?
I really am, because I feel like it's not Alonso, which means he's not in your top 10.
That's right. He's not. I might have a little bitterness and resentment there with Alonso. He's not in the top 10.
It's totally fine. Okay. Who is it?
Number one for me, and I'm not trying to do anything here. These are my rankings. I'm trying to be true to myself more than
Torkelson.
Now that would be a cancelable offense. I should be ended if I did that. No, I just think it's the right place, right time. Here we go. Next 4 years should be outstanding. I just love Josh Naylor. I do. I think he's incredible.
Oh, really? Okay, great. Okay.
I love his bat that much, and I'm putting him there. I put him ahead of Vladdy because of what I just said. Vladdy, yeah, okay. I don't know. There's just something missing there. But he might – I admit that Vladimir Guerrero might outperform Naylor over the next 4 years. I admit that. That's very, very possible. Freeman's older, like I said, and Harper's older. But maybe – I don't know, maybe Harper should be number one now that I'm rethinking it. But I'm going Josh Naylor number one because I just – even if you've been at Cleveland, didn't matter if he got traded. That doesn't change things for me all that much. I just think it's – his time right now, and he's been ascending. And the only question will be, is he hurt? And does that limit his at-bats in 2025, 6, and 7? Otherwise, I have no questions. It's all aligned. His average, his ability to hit for contact, drive-in runs, hit for power. This is a guy who could really hit. He could really hit 315, drive in third, you know, hit 30 home runs, and drive in 100+. He really could do that. And you know, he could steal a couple bases here and there. He's no Spencer Steer, but he could mix in a few of those. So that's my guy. I'm going Naylor number one.
I like he's averaged 7 1/3 the last 3 years, right? 6-10-6. I'm looking at the line now, which for anybody watching, I'm sure you have set it up on the screen so people can look for themselves. But batting average is not a big concern with him, which it is for a lot of these other masher-type guys who can hit for big power. OBP is great. I think that's a non-regrettable pick, but I like it. Like, I, you know, and he's one of the guys for me when I'm kind of doing my calculations and grouping my runs and RBIs. It's what's the window in the team he's on now, right? That's why it's hard to say with like Nathaniel Lowe. It's like, I like him and he keeps producing, and Texas is good and he was good in Texas, but he had like a one strong year. But since then, he's still just been really good for fantasy. It's just not flashy, so nobody cares, right? I think it was 27 home runs what he had 2 years ago.
Yep.
so since then, people are like, oh, he's not this, he's not that. But he's still got enough ahead of him. And Naylor, of course, is the same position. He's 27 years old. Enough time ahead. Vlad kind of needs to step up to do what we both believe, you know, is safe for Naylor to be able to do. So that's great.
Love it. All right. There you go. That's a top 10 for each one of us. Initially, I gave you 9. I added my 10th, so you got it. Matt Olson made the cut. Let's talk about, what about regretting a rank? Whose rank do you regret right now overall here?
Yeah, I gotta dive a slight amount down. So a guy that's not in my top 10 that I feel like easily could be, again, this is a really disappointing one for a lot of people out there. Nolan Shanwell, I think he could produce at a top 10 rate over the next 5 years, but no one's going to put him up there. Christian Encarnacion Strand, CES, as I did mention before, that's another guy that if Steer becomes your third base or your first base, and CES becomes your first base or your DH, whatever, and there are 550 at bats for both guys, I mean, he could really produce. It's just, I don't know, it's muddy waters, and I would rather have Steer, as you know, well, both of us would, as our rankings indicated. Those are the ones that when I immediately look, I do regret. So who's on your end where you're thinking this guy maybe should be my top 10, but I didn't put him in? Obviously Alonso.
Well, I didn't. Yeah, obviously Alonso. That's
after the Rocky signing.
After, I'd love to see that, man. I would love to see something like that come true. I had CES just outside my top 10. It's not too far off, so it's no big deal. I think after that, like, I don't have a ton of regrets when it comes to the top 10, but just rankings further, I'm disappointed with Tyler Black. I don't know what we're going to get out of him. I have him way down the – I really
like him. He's 28 for me right now, and that's in a pile that I'm always moving around. Like, he's in Manzardo, Michael Bush area, Ryan Mountcastle. They're all in that, like, late 20s into the 30s of, like, I'm still working – to determine how I truly feel about them, and it becomes very league dependent at that point.
Yandy Diaz, should he be in the top 10? He shouldn't.
Like, he should have been in everyone's top 10 the last 3 years, but now it's one of those, like, well, we can't really put him in there now, you know, like, Diaz has been, where do I have him now? I gotta look. I feel like I saw him somewhere 26. After okay. After I did this, I saw Diaz way back on somebody's list, and I'm like, that's just somebody who's not understanding. You know, like, you would put Josh Bell way back because you're not sure how many years you know, you're gonna have left. Carlos Santana, you're not sure, you know, how many years you're gonna
77
have left. I don't even see where I must have just went past him. Too many guys, but I would say he's probably,
he's napping.
Yeah, he's somewhere. Oh, there he is, 26. Yeah.
Oh, my God, 28 and 26. How about that?
Yeah. So he's weird. In that same kind of clog, like Ryan O'Hearn territory, where O'Hearn can produce, but is it going to drop off? Candelario.
Hey there, this is the Blotto Podcast. If you're in a hotel room right now, check to see if there's a Bible in your second drawer, courtesy of Gideon's. We'll be right back after these pointless messages.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is there anyone that you think needs a new team, like whether it's trade or they're, you know, a free agent that signs, that you think, oh, well, in the better lineup, they are a better player?
Well, there's no doubt it's incomplete right now, but Ty France. I still like Ty France.
Oh, okay. That's a good pick.
I like his bat a lot. I always did, and I'm not done with it. It kind of – Seattle bummed him out, but he did show he could hit in Seattle for a time.
He did, yeah.
Cincinnati I thought would be a big boon to him. That didn't really play out either. They got a lot of guys, like you talked about Candelario and all those guys earlier. So, Ty France, give me a spot here. The latest rumor I saw was the Cubs.
Sure. That lineup would be all right.
I mean, if he could get he's a regular 7-8. Playing time.
Yeah. So he's a 7-8 in that lineup. It's a matter of what they want to do with it. Again, like I always look to some of the worst teams that would take someone like that and make him a starter, like the Athletics. Would they take and make Ty France a starter? Would Colorado take and make him a starter? Like Colorado is the team on this list that could change a player's fate. If someone goes to Colorado, Michael Toglia will not get the opportunity to increase his batting average by 50 points by being in the lineup all the time. You know, like that, which is the big thing for him. If Toglia could up the average, we'll all regret not picking him up off waivers last winter, you know, because finally last year, even though he did struggle initially, he got production as the year went on. Like, there are numbers there, but he's 26. Is he going to be given, so to speak, first base, or is he going to be the first guy to lose his starting job in spring training because somebody signed or whatever happened? And again, is Colorado the organization that typically does that? No, they don't. They just let guys leave for weird reasons and don't make trades at the right time. So maybe Toglia will be good, but if you got somebody better in, Ty France would be an excellent guy to go in. Austin Nola, I think, is in Colorado this year, not as a person to push, just as like a familiar face. They were traded for each other.
I know that guy.
They were traded for each other. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't know what to do about this, but I think if Pete Alonso's not coming back, is Mark Vientos the first baseman? Is he on your list?
You know what? I don't think I did put him on my list.
He's just outside my top 10. I'm not kidding. If we're allowing him in, it seems like first base is his future maybe here for real.
Let me see. New York. I only have Ryan Clifford as my New York Met. So I guess that is my error because, like you said, yeah, Vientos is the default today when you're looking at
the
depth chart.
I love Vientos is 12 for me. He's right there. I would have put him in the top 10 almost. I really did for a minute, and then I pulled him back out. I love his game. I love this is a guy who can hit for a great average, and I think it's legit. I don't think it's a fluke at all. He was a highly respected prospect as it was anyways.
Yep.
So I just want
him.
He's a guy that
– third base rankings when the time comes. So that's where he's –
Yeah. So this is – that's why I want to at least bring him up. Some people might say, well, is he in there or not? And, you know, when it comes to corners, infield, you're going to play this game all the time. So
yeah.
I'll leave it there.
Yeah, that's a good one. I did not think of that one. I wonder if there's anybody else like that. So is there a prospect that you either do or that you wish you had when looking at your list where you're like, you know what, I think that's a guy, whether it's this year or in 2 to 3 years? I mean, just your own Tigers have a few potential future first basemen.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to screw his name up because I haven't looked at the pronunciation. Luke Kuechsel from Minnesota. I don't have any of him at all.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I wish I did.
Yeah, where did I
put starting to realize that now. I'm a big fan. I'm really starting to
Kuechsel
buy
sounds
into
right.
that.
K-E-A-S-C-H-A-L-L. And he could also become a second base outfielder. He's multi-position at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got him sitting right in that pack of 30. But, of course, that's the pack that I keep moving guys around. So I will watch a YouTube video of how they're swinging in double A and be like, yeah, I don't know. Or I'll see how they go up against a good pitcher and be like, oh, I kind of like that, you know?
So
typically I stay away from Minnesota guys because I'm just not, I'm not the high guy on a lot of their earlier picks, their top three round type dudes. So I feel like I miss out, but that's a good one. It's a good one to have.
Yeah. Him or also Moises Ballesteros. I don't have any of him at all. I'd like to have a couple shares.
Yeah, I have. So you said Ballesteros?
Yep.
Is that right?
That's right.
So I've got him at 16 for me, assuming he moves off. Yeah, he is an aggressive. Cubs aren't set at catcher, but if something happens, he could move to first base or he could just be their first baseman and he could be there for a decade. The guy's 21 right now. And we already talked about the potential of Ty France being there. So the guy that I think I wish I had, and he was number 11 on my list, and I'm only going to think this way for 2 years, is Nick Kurtz, the A's first baseman picked last year, because he finished the year at double A. They're going to this, ballpark that the ball should just waft out all year long. So people are going to want Kurtz in the lineup. So even if for dynasty purposes, I just rostered him and then found a way to get that mega deal. Because when these guys are on the cusp of getting called up, somebody else's first baseman or DH or whatever went down, they want to compete. And not that you're not, but you can get so much more in that moment than 2 weeks after they've been called up, whether they start hot or not, because people just want that excitement and to see that success for themselves more so than when it's already started to happen. So for me, Kurtz is like somebody this offseason. I don't think I'm going to end up getting him anywhere, but I certainly think he'll be a fun guy. And he will be, I think in fantasy, he's going to be a top three, potentially a 1-1 once I start tracking first year player draft ADPs.
Yes. I saw Kurtz multiple times in my brief stay in Arizona last year.
Oh, cool.
And I got to listen to a scout talk about him in the final wrap-up. A guy that has been right on several players who's an MLB scout currently. They never say who his name is, but... So I got a lot on Kurtz. There was some concern about his mental makeup, that he didn't take the game that seriously, just to throw that out there. But then his power was tremendous, but it was kind of a one-trick pony, and maybe his swing was a little long. So I didn't see enough to be like, wow, I'm going to remember that guy. I was actually surprised that he was as high a draft pick, top four, I believe, right, from Wake Forest. So when you started talking, I was like, oh, really? But what you said to put it all together made a lot of sense, that even if you have him as an asset, that if you want to move, that's a great idea. I really think you're right.
I love the asset of Nick Kurtz more than the future first baseman in my, on my fantasy team. Which we didn't really discuss that you put value into that. But of course you do. Because where, like I mentioned with Freddie Freeman, I'll be able to pick him up as the years go on, assuming there will continue to be production. Because he does not have the makeup of a big-butted first baseman who signs a massive contract and then struggles to the point he gets released.
He likes big butts and he cannot lie.
He's not Pujols is what I'm trying to say. So, you consider those things within in value, but it's hard to say like I gave 20% to their tradability or my ability to actually acquire them, because that's all league dependent. Because if you're in a contract league where one guy is 25% of your salary, you're not picking up a guy who's 10% of who would be 10% of your salary if you think that they're on the decline. You need to get those young cheap guys and all that stuff. So anyway, prospect, Kurtz and Kishel. Those are good ones there. And then is there an old guy, we just kind of mentioned that you think could still kick around and produce? Carlos Santana is the major offender of this.
Classic.
Yeah, and he's back in Cleveland, which goes to like the five Guardians that I have on my list that one of my comments on them is just like, there's too many, so they'll all fail. For the longest time, Cleveland couldn't produce an outfielder, and then in 2022, I think it was, whenever Stephen Kwan came up and rocked everybody, all of a sudden they had four outfielders, and then five was Alex Call, who they ended up just like releasing, and then he caught on with the Nats and is still potentially going to be a player. But anyway, is there an old guy who you think has a couple years left that, of course, he's not in your top 10, but he will still be effective.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm, man, I really treated Rhys Hoskins harshly on this list. But he's around. He's going to be around, right?
Yeah.
It's not over yet. He's serviceable. I got him like 45.
Okay.
That's probably too harsh. I admit that. But he's going to, that's not fair. I also have Paul Goldschmidt like 37th. That's not fair either. But.
It is fair. It's totally fair. Goldie, I have at 33.
And, oh, wow. Okay. Good.
I don't even have in my top 45.
This is Dynasty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I don't even have Rizzo in that.
No.
Not a consideration for me. And like Ben Rice, I put on this list. And Ben Rice is hurt severely because of Goldschmidt. And that's not a knock against Goldie, but that's that he's not the player he was. And the Yankees do this every year. And Rizzo was the last example of bringing in a veteran who takes a job from a young guy because the Yankees aren't willing to do that, which is how they compete. I mean, they were in the World Series last year, and a lot of teams that just let guys play were not. So I think it's fair. I have Hoskins. I loved Hoskins when he was younger. He's 31 now.
Oh my God. When he came up, there's a whole story about 2017, that run he had when he came up.
Yeah, he came up and was hot. Oh, and then God. Matt Olson did the same thing. Yeah, that was great. So I have Hoskins at 36 because in Milwaukee, we just don't know what's up. He's going to have the Josh Bell jump around. He's very much like a Josh Bell type. Now, I've got Christian Walker way back for me, and I think he's the one who's going to continue. He's 33, so I'm considering that baseball old.
me too. I put him at 28, though, just because he could still produce quite well, I guess. So.
Yeah, like I think in Houston he'll be fine, but I can't get behind Houston continuing to succeed. I feel like they're going to be the type of team who goes from the 90 win area down into the, like, you know, 500, like 50 or 82, 80, you know, that area, but they're going to be veteran savvy at all times. So they'll play you tough and they'll be runs and whatever. I think Walker's just going to fit that mold, but it was a heck of a move to lose Walker in that production and then to pick up Naylor for Arizona. Obviously it wasn't a trade with Walker, he signed, but I think that was a good, I think he'll continue to do it, and the value will be there for anybody that gets him because he's just not flashy, very much like Lowe, like, you know, like Nathaniel, he's just not a flashy name that people are all over, but Lowe's not old by our standards yet.
No, I mean, you know, Luis Reyes is on this list, but there's no power ever, you know. So.
I love him. I love, love, love him. I have him in my home league, 8x8. He's always a top 100 player. The average saves you when you get big mashers, but he just not a complete player.
No, right? He's not. You're right. I love him too. You're right. You said it much better than I was ready to rip on him, and it's not fair. Yeah, a couple of the random names I just want to throw out there real quick is I was looking at him and I was like, boy, I wish I had more Zach DiCenzo. I think he's really starting to ascend.
Well, Christian Walker was blocking him.
Yeah, but I still like him for Dynasty. Like, Walker's there for now. I think the Astros are on the I could see Walker getting dealt. I really could. I think the Astros could be falling apart. I really do. Like, Walker's like, it's teams have runs and they fade away and they try to hang on and they sign a guy like Walker and then, like, well, this is over. Let's just dump.
The Blue Jays do it every 4 years. So, yeah, very familiar.
except with no two World Series to zero. Yeah, that would be the key difference there.
Yes.
Even though I hate the Astros, I have to admit that. Nico Cavadas is a guy we talked about on Prospects Power Hour a couple weeks ago. No. Okay. So let's just put that to bed. He's like, I have him at 64. So. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a post 45 on mine, and with reason, right? And the other thing, too, is he doesn't have a position because Shanwell is your first baseman with the Angels. So that means he's DH left field or something. So I don't like the idea of that as far as safe at bats.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think there's safety, too, in just because I remember experiencing it watching the Blue Jays a decade ago and when. Edwin Encarnacion went from making a millionaires at third base to becoming their everyday first baseman. He discussed it openly how once he moved, he was no longer taking to the plate his errors in the field, and he became a much more confident professional baseball player. And a lot can be said for other guys who, if teams keep doing the, you know, he's a utility guy. He's like the utility guy that the Dodgers signed this offseason from KBO, I think.
Oh, yeah. Hi-oh-some Kim.
Yeah, very much like Ha-some, but Hi-oh-some.
That's right.
Kim.
Yeah.
And they,
no
they
power
signed,
at all. Classic slap hitter.
Yeah. And what's going to happen is that's what he should do. But that's not what you should be doing to your guy who's like a legitimate, you know, ability to play first or third. You need to really covet it. And if the Jays are going to dick around a little bit this year with Vlad, they might even – well, I just mean like if they're not competitive, right? They desperately need a third baseman.
Oh, I thought you meant just period all the time. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Like if they are going to eventually like, oh, maybe he can play third because that way we could sign him, right? He'll sign this contract. Whatever is going to go on that we don't know about but have to, you know, figure out the stat lines for – or sorry, justify their stat lines. If he moves them around, you need a third baseman. Just get a defensive third baseman and let Vlad be your first base because you traded away Spencer Horowitz, who should have been your guy. And he's going to be a starter in Pittsburgh, who we didn't mention. I've got him right around the 20 mark. He also, to me, is somebody who 100% could be moving up because in Pittsburgh, to me, he is the guy. Mason Martin was like potentially a prospect 5-6 years ago coming up and through. That time has passed for Mason Martin. He would be lightning in a bottle now if he was to come up and do any level of production. It is Horowitz. I really like him. I think this could be a great move for him. I just wish that Toronto would have kept him for first base, but they were, you know, Vlad. So there are guys on here who, like, we're going to see, like, Tyler Soderstrom with the A's. That's another.
I don't know. You know? Is he legit? I don't know if I can trust him or not. I'm still
I'm a
suspect there.
Yeah, I've got him well back outside my top 30. But again, a prospect, Davison De Los Santos, Rule 5 guy last year from Cleveland who went back to Arizona, got traded. He's now with Miami. Everybody wants him to succeed. Everybody knows he's a prospect now. I'm just not sold on this being a thing because what has Miami done? What have they shown us they can do? Which is to me very important.
Right. They got a logjam at first, too. You look at all the guys. I mean, they got a lot of guys to decide from there. Even Jonah Bry.
Middle infield. They had it in the outfield 2 years ago. Where do they play these guys? They don't give them run because they also sign veterans. Like, but anyway,
yes.
First base is fun.
Yeah,
and base was not fun for a few years. It was very veteran heavy, I found, because prospects weren't breaking in. Like, I'm trying to think of somebody, I guess that would be your Spencer Steer.
Well, Matt
would
Mervis,
be a break-in.
Who just went to Miami, he was hyped. Trash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's somewhat fun. It's somewhat entertaining. Well, of course, we haven't done the rest of our rankings, which we will. They're all going to be here for you. But this has been fun. This reminded me, I did this a couple years ago, and I loved it. I love this. I could do this all the time. So let's keep doing this. This is a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. This is my favorite part of the offseason is lining these guys up and then hating my list as the days pass and then making little adjustments. And then you really dive in on guys and then you take that to your fantasy leagues or your drafts if you're doing redraft. And you look at, like, who are my 2025 through 27 guys, right? And then beyond that, who can I expect to be good? And then for prospects, I don't care if they are potentially 3-4 years off, but I'm not doing anything stupid like putting somebody who I don't think is going to see a major league at bat in 2 years inside a top 20. Like, if I think there's a way, sure. But, like, let's not go getting crazy with organizations that don't move guys and thinking, oh, they're going to do something really out of the pocket here, right? Like, the Angels are a safe bet to promote quickly, but that doesn't necessarily mean to the, you know, player's benefit, right?
Let me just speed round you really fast. Just give me a quick assessment on these guys. We'll get out of here. That'll be over. I swear, folks, we'll end this nightmare that
people
you're suffering through right
rankings.
Now. Lots of podcasts.
Utah, give me two.
What do you think? Oh, I just had it up. Now, Andrew Vaughn, any hope there? Is it over?
That's a great one. So Vaughn, I've got at 19. The two factors here, because I was looking him up even like, you know, at 3:30, well, whatever, an hour before we started recording. He needs the team around him, of course, to get better. Which means he needs guys that'll take a walk, which is an issue in Chicago. He also would benefit heavily from just being out, perhaps, of Chicago, and then get that first round pick, that like super hype thing that was with him and washed away. Spencer Torkelson's a great example. Maybe they'd be a fun one for one, but it's an in-division trade. Wouldn't happen, but I think Vaughn will produce. He's 26. He's got lots of MLB time left, but it's just underwhelming at all times. So until he has that like 75, 95 RBI season, like 75 runs, 95 RBIs, where he's actually hitting guys in, which you need to be on a good team to do that, I don't think he's going to be coveted. So his dynasty stock's going to keep dropping.
Okay, excellent response. Does Will Wagner have a future at first base?
No.
No? Okay, good. Just checking.
I don't know what his deal is, man. Like I mean, maybe next year, right? Like,
that's
guess
what I'm saying.
Sorry, yeah. So for a future.
Post Vladdy.
Yeah, potentially, but that's because Toronto's eroded both their catcher and first base situation. So I don't know. Okay. That's when that weird. That's where Carlos Santana is going to play with Toronto next year. And block Wagner.
Does Alec Burleson get opportunities at first, even though Wilson Contreras is being moved to first?
I don't know. I still think there could be a free agent that comes in. So
okay.
And
I don't disagree.
Lucan Baker is still a major league potential power
legend.
Back.
The minor league legend, yeah. Lucan Baker.
So I don't know if he needs another year before he can sign as a free agent, or not a free agent, as a minor league free agent. But I think that he could clog that up. You know, like Juan Yepes a few years ago kind of blocked him when it could have been Lucan Baker's time, and then Baker struggled. But no, I don't know what's up with St. Louis in that.
Okay. And then lastly and selfishly, but I think a lot of people are curious about this situation now.
Go Tigers!
Yeah.
The Gleyber Torres coming in. Colt Keith rumors to first base now. Spencer Torkelson, we know the story there. So what do you make of first base here with Colt Keith, Spencer Torkelson, et cetera, for the Tigers situation?
So I did not put Colt Keith over, although I have already seen people putting him, you know, as like a first baseman, because he has yet to do it. So let's not, you know, like say that Tatis is going to be a center fielder when he's never done it before with our rankings. Let's wait till it's official, right? That was a couple years ago. But you get the idea.
I put him on there. I put him 39 as a first base, which really bums me out, because I like his bat a lot more than that. But at first, it hurts a little bit.
Well, he's also just he jumped the system, right? He got the MLB deal. He did the thing. He's up. So with that, he's going to learn. But Spencer Torkelson, what was that?
8 years, $40 million for Keith.
Yeah. So you got seven potential years of him as a first baseman. So you can let him punt defensively a year of that to find out. But Colt Keith, I think, will be around. He'll get his at bats. I don't know if he might just always be a moving guy. Like every whole scene in the offseason, they could be like, well, he could go there, because he's getting paid over time, but he's not getting paid like a stud. Spencer Torkelson, it has not gone well. I don't know what kind of reboot he needs other than a new organization, but that's just because then he could get fresh scouting eyes on him, or somebody who's been watching him who really thinks he needs something that no one in Detroit has seen. But I don't see him being able to succeed. He's like a Billy Bean with the Mets, if you remember in Moneyball, how he just could not get it done. He needed to go somewhere else. Not that Bean succeeded. It doesn't matter. But then
not the AFL Bean that died star, last year either.
What was that?
Not the Bean that died last year either. Billy Bean died last year. But not that Billy Bean.
Not that Billy Bean. The other one is the AFL star, Jose Bracino, potential catcher, but also potential first base, because he was so impressive that people are excited about the possibility. Thyron Lazaro is another catcher, potential first baseman. So the future in Detroit looks like it's all internal. It's a matter of what Torkelson does and where they move him to, whether he is able to bring them another first baseman on an expiring contract and a season if Keith's not getting it done defensively or offensively, or if he is able to stick it out and still have a few years. But I like it in Detroit. It's a really nice thing to see there's possibilities at two positions with the same kind of players where they should be able to filter in. So Detroit's going to have a regular productive MLB-er, but not necessarily a top 10 or 15 dynasty producer.
Go Tigers!
That makes sense.
Genius!
You'll notice on the show we didn't mention once Jack Caglianone. So yeah. I think that speaks for itself. We'll just leave it there.
He's too new. Yeah.
Well, but he's getting, if we're mentioning Kurtz, FYPD, you know, Caglione is going to be a high pick, right?
Don't deny that? Absolutely. The issue, since we're not going to mention him, but now we're mentioning him, the issue is Vinny P is there. And as I said, Vinny P's got a big 25 to 27 to produce. Now, whether he gets expensive and Casey says, no, thank you, Jack will already be up by the end of 27 unless something horrific has happened. So I don't know. But, like, I want to see good pitchers pitch. He's one of the guys I watch tape on. I watch and see how is he handling professional pitchers, what is reasonable to expect. Because with the Royals, you need big, hard contact and good old-fashioned launch angles if you're going to be really productive there. And I don't know if that's what he is. Very much like Colorado with Charlie Condon. Like the draft, the first-year player draft that could have these corner infielders, it's interesting because there will be busts within this. And I'm not saying that's what Caglione is, but I'm saying
there will be busts.
Yeah, Vinny P is going to be blocking them and productively. So unless there's a big collapse on his end and a rise for Jack, I can't reasonably put him up high, which means on my first-year player drafts, I drop him back.
Can we copyright that? There will be busts. That's a great thing. It should be an article, a show. Yeah.
Do it.
Oh, shoot. That's ours. We're taking it. Yeah. We just said it now on the record. All right. We're done. We're finally done. Thank you so much for coming in here. First Base Dynasty Rankings. Hopefully it was valuable in some way. There's more to come. Find them here on the Palazzo Podcast YouTube channel. 2 L's, 2 Z's. Real simple. Palazzo Podcast.
Utah.
Follow Robbie Baseball.
Give me two. Myself,
everybody else in the Palazzo Galaxy. We'll be back with more. You got questions? Just drop them in the comments here in the video. That's the place. Just put them right there. We'll respond. Or in the Discord, which is free. Also in the description. Find the link. Sound good?
Love it.
Oh, he loves it. Okay, everybody. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. It's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.